Happy Pride, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk Synesthesia, today with a Pride special. I'm so excited for it. As you know, I love talking about synesthesia, obviously, but I also love talking about queer stuff and art and activism. And today's guest will combine all of those things, so that's quite cool. I think it's fair to say that him and I are friends, because compared to my other podcast guests, I've seen him before. Yeah, I met him at a trans protest in Edinburgh, and we spoke for 2 minutes. So yeah, I think they will agree. We're like really close friends. Hame is a very interesting person, very active. He's the founder of Carried Away. We're going to learn about that in a second. That's what his Instagram bio says, a Mediterranean gentleman, describes them so perfectly. Yeah, so the point is, can we discuss synesthesia without discussing queer topics? Yeah, we can. But why would we? So many autistic people are gender diverse, are queer, have a different sexual orientation other than heterosexual. Gender dysphoria is higher in autistic people. And I mean, I know this is a podcast about synesthesia, not about autism. But for me, all of these topics go hand in hand and should go hand in hand. Yeah, I'm aware that every time I post something slightly queer on my Instagram account, I lose a couple followers. But that is okay. I'm not going to stop doing that. When after all, I just want to talk to someone from Edinburgh. I am so homesick to Edinburgh. I guess that's just what I signed up for. Honestly, if you feel home in multiple places, you will just always feel homesick of the place you're not in at the moment. And right now it's Austria time. Gotta embrace Austria time. And it is stunning and amazing here, but I'm very excited to hear what's up in Scotland. Pride events, protests. All my love goes out to those people that don't have the freedom to express who they are and live their truest self. And that might be the situation in the country they're from or the family they're in, the system they're in. I hope this episode and the Pride special episodes this month will bring you a bit of joy and community. And please feel free to reach out if you are neurodivergent and queer and haven't really found your place yet. Enjoy the episode, enjoy the Pride specials this month. Be loud and proud. We're many. Be a good ally. And as I saw on Instagram, I wish a very uncomfortable month to all the homophobic people out there. Let's dive into the episode. Okay, so it's 11:39. It only took us 40 minutes to get started.
ADHD, you know. No, that's the gist of being interviewing a Spanish person with ADHD. Yeah.
I think 40 minutes is a good time. I'm very excited for our episode. Very excited to have you on. I already did a bit of an introduction before we met.
My God, I feel honored.
We're a good match. And what I said in the introduction is, compared to my other podcast guests, we are basically best friends because we've met before.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For like a minute and a half.
Solid 2 minutes, I would say. And also at a protest, which is the best type, honestly, the best type of meeting that you can have.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a trans protest in Edinburgh, very important cause. Very good atmosphere. And I think, yeah, those 2 minutes were probably felt like 40 minutes, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Also, that was the thing in that protest. Everyone was singing and dancing and having a beautiful gay time. And we've got that lovely background for the 2 sentences that we were able to exchange. You gave me like a sense of familiarity with the space as well. Like there was a lot of people there. And like seeing your face and being like, oh, I finally can see, you know, the actual person between the amazing things that I've seen online. So it was a beautiful moment.
Oh man, that's so sweet. Maybe we should tell people how we met.
That is true.
Or maybe we should start with like introducing you. Well, that would be good.
That would be good.
I introduced you already as the Mediterranean gentlemen that you are.
Thank you.
So your name is Jaime Prada.
Yes, it is.
From Spain.
Yes.
You're the founder of Carried Away.
I'm the founder of Carried Away. Yes, I am.
And you're currently based in Edinburgh. And I spent most of last year in Edinburgh. And that's why our path crossed. I was exhibiting at the neuroscience conference. And that's where I met Yaya. And she told me about you.
Yeah.
So I went on carriedaway.uk and submitted a form to be one of the featured artists on your platform. And then my application, I guess, landed on your laptop. So what happened next?
Yes. Actually, something that you don't know is that my co-founder was at that conference. So Irene is a neuroscientist. Like, they are the rock of my life. And they were at that conference. And it's quite pertinent because, like, we were at the beginning of the journey of Carried Away at that point. And Irene had just got on board. She saw the exhibition and she started, like, she literally face called me. And we were talking about the amazing art that people have been doing regarding neuroscience, but from a very creative point of view. And I didn't know that these two worlds could merge in this beautiful way. Like, a lot of the times, like, it was a beautiful celebration. First of all, from your end, how your brain works, how your brain is able to create these beautiful pieces that are so personal, but at the same time, so aesthetically pleasing. And Irene, like, responded very nicely to yours. Like, I remember that was, like, their highlight of the whole entire place. And the minute that we got the form from you, I literally sent them a message like, look who applied. It was a no-brainer. You were like, I was so pleased. Because obviously we are a queer-led business. Like, we do want to celebrate queer artists. And finding that intersection with other communities that we identify within was very important to us. So the minute that you put your application forward and we saw your approach and the way that you have embraced your synesthesia, like, it was so moving because it was exactly what we founded Carried Away for. And it was quite a nice surprise.
Well, that's a piece of background information I wasn't prepared for.
Right? Like, that is the thing. It's quite strange to think that my co-founder is a neuroscientist.
Wild. So, did I meet them?
As two autistic people, so with social anxiety, I cannot confirm or deny whether you met, but they saw your work and they sent me pictures.
Wild. Okay, that is absolutely wild.
You kind of met them. You posted on Instagram a story with them in it, which I found hilarious.
What?
You took a picture of, like, the hole, and you could see them in the picture, and I was like,
really? And your partner was on that photo?
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely go back to my stories and check what happened there. Because in the break of the conference, Yaya and the other artists, we went to a coffee shop. And that coffee shop was where Yaya told me about you. So it was a big day. Man.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, one of the things that I have learned as an artist, especially, is I'm going to lose every single opportunity I don't take. Like, every single opportunity that has been given to me and every single achievement that I've had is because I put myself out there. And a lot of these times, they would come from, like, literal conversations that people would have near me, that I was in the right place at the right time. And a lot of the times I do have, like, because of my ADHD, I do go around. When I leave the house, I put headphones on and I keep them on until the moment that I get to the office, and then I take them off.
Same.
But at the same, like, that also isolates me from the rest of the world. So I have realized that a lot of the times when I take them off, especially in situations like that, the conversations that happen around me are provide me with more insight, and it's quite beautiful. Like I have started to see the value of being more present in the moment.
I have the same thing when I leave the house with my noise cancelling headphones and sunglasses, and like from a sensory perspective, amazing. I just feel so in control and not overwhelmed. But after a couple hours, let's say, if I have to run errands in the city, I really feel disattached from reality.
Yeah.
And that's a bit risky. But, yeah.
Although I do think like that is, I do appreciate it, to be honest, at some point. Like I do appreciate sometimes getting out of the house and not feeling anything. Like to feel myself, like it's quite nice to just put music on and head to the shop and be like, okay, what do I need?
Yeah. And I mean, your ADHD took you many places, I guess.
Like, to be honest, I think that that is, it's been one of the most enriching parts of my life to come into terms with my ADHD and my autism. I also struggled with PTSD in the past, and being able to find the strength of how all of these conditions intersect and how my brain works because of them. Because a lot of the times growing up, I wouldn't have an understanding from my close circle of how my brain works, and people would not necessarily celebrate it or understand it. So I've always been quite an impatient child. I mean, I'm literally going to tell you the life story of every single person with ADHD ever, but I moved, like every single year I would be doing a different sport. I changed my careers like 3 times. I dwelled in 3,000 different creative projects that I never finished. And my parents always were very supportive, but at the same time, they would also be telling me to just focus on something. Just do one thing. There is always value in being now. When I engage in conversation with somebody and they start talking about, I don't know, coding, and I'll be like, well, I did coding ages, 13 and 14. And, you know, I might not be an expert, but I can defend myself in this conversation right now. A lot of those things, like, it does provide you with a life story that a lot of people don't have. And something that has been antagonized and something that has been, you know, put against me has been my source of strength right now. That is one of the reasons why I called our company Carried Away. Like, to me, that has been the biggest criticism I've always had in my life. You get too carried away, you get too caught up in the things that you're doing, when I've always seen it as something that was extremely beneficial for my mental health.
I guess it's a question of how do we define success? Like, if success is finishing a project and getting rich with it, I don't know, or doing it for 15 years, but then that's one definition of success. But maybe success is also just being spontaneous and flexible and following new ideas and stay proactive and brave.
Absolutely. Also, we need to reclaim the power of an unfinished project. Like, there is so much that I have learned from things that have not gone anywhere. God, like, have I learned about, like, a different skill? Like, how much have I enjoyed getting involved with people who have this idea, help them visualize it, help it bring it to life, and then get anywhere. Like, even if it's not the optimal outcome of it, every single thing that I've done has provided me with a new insight that then I can take forward.
Yeah.
Those experiences, if they had been completed, to be honest, I would have a problem committing to them. Since they didn't finish, I would not feel as responsible to bring them and elevate them further process. So I do appreciate, I do appreciate a nice idea rather than a nice project in the future. But yeah.
Oh, No, I love that. Words of power. I really like that. Very good. I really like the idea of you get, like, you gain the skills without a commitment. Like, it does remind me of a post from a autistic content creator, Ella Willis. She posted, it was more about like autistic special interests, but still she made a design about her special interests graveyard, where you can see these gravestones with like things she was hyper focused on or like hyper interested in for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We love a hyperfixation. Oh, we love them in this house. Oh God. If I literally gave you a panorama of like my room right now, you would see that 3,000 different things that I have right now around the house just for things that I thought that I was going to have time to do. It's great.
Well, for me, it was definitely baking. I had a big baking time, was baking huge, like almost like wedding cakes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. Another thing was fitness training. Like, I'm a licensed fitness trainer. What happened there?
I mean, let me tell you, please do continue that skill. And whenever you have a cake, do send it my way. You do know my address. I would appreciate a nice chunk of cake.
Okay, I'll go visit my special interest graveyard and see if I can dig it out.
That is my best.
But I guess the question for me now would be my synesthesia project and your Carried Away brand. Like, is that a special interest? Is it going to fade? What's your feeling?
So the good thing about Carried Away and the reason why it's starting to grow so much is because I have now learned that when you put things into the universe and you actually tell people about them, you start having a sense of commitment. It's that sense of community you get from it. It's no longer my project. I have a co-founder. The idea came from a student from the ECA. Like, it's not just myself. It's a lot of people. There is a huge network of connections that want to get involved and want to see it flourish and successful. Like, it's no longer just myself. And I owe it to them for it to be successful. And yes, it feels like a pressure, but it is a good pressure in a way. Like, it's a nice sentiment to feel that you are involved in someone's life. It's quite nice. I appreciate the feeling of someone relying on me and expecting something for me. Like, I do enjoy having that sense of the mission behind us and the reason why we wanted to create this is to create a platform that allows to find a source of income, that it is straightforward, and that also provides them with a platform. So we have now organized two different exhibitions. We've got our prints online and in physical stands. Like, it's such a big network now that I feel our mission provides so much reassurance for a lot of people that may not know what to do once they graduate, for instance. And we work for people like you who art and creating designs might not be their main focus in their life. However, it's something that not only are they passionate about, but they're also good at. And they are sharing a story that needs to be heard.
And I think from my perspective as the artist that got accepted to Carried Away, I just felt like this is too good to be true. Like, I just submit my stuff and you produce it and ship it.
Yep. And completely free for you. Like, that is the thing from your end. It took a year to develop. Like, we found manufacturers both in the UK and Europe. And now we're starting to expand into America, which is daunting, but there is a lot of red tape around IP and around legal fees.
I'm just going to interrupt this conversation quickly to let you know that Carried Away sent me a discount code, which is 20 away, 20 away, for 20% off for every product on Carried Away. That's not only my synesthesia art, but also everybody else's art and photography. That's so cool. I'm so happy. Thank you, Carried Away. As for now, I think we can ship to EU and the UK. So if you're outside of Europe, please check if it's already possible
to ship to your place. I'm super excited. I'm so pumped that my stuff is available. And I'm super excited to see photos of people wearing Synesthesia shirts, hoodies, or drink their morning coffee with a Synesthesia mug. So please send me photos if you purchase anything. And sorry that the audio is slightly bad. I don't know what happened this time. I'm annoyed. Please bear with me. Maybe just turn the volume down a bit. I'm sorry for that. Okay, let's get back to the conversation. Oh, and again, it's 20 away. 20 away for 20% off on Carried Away UK.
So I am an international law graduate. Like, that is what I've done in my life. Beyond being a photographer, my area of focus in my studies was law. At the beginning, it wasn't, like, we didn't think that it was going to be able to host people. Like, we didn't think that we were going to be able to invite people from outside, because IP laws have been a nightmare to navigate, but we found a way to provide this platform for people to keep their IP, to keep their designs, to be able to ensure that if you want to stop participating with us, and you can do that easily, but at the same time, create a community.
Yeah.
Also, from the sustainability point of view, the amount of paper that is wasted and the amount of, like, pollutants and that people use during the, like, shipping, packaging, manufacturing of art is outstanding. Like, it's so damaging to Earth, and we're trying to find a way to invest in local manufacturers, and that is the network that we have, that create those products the most sustainable way and then ship them in the most eco-friendly means of transport.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm deeply impressed, I have to say.
Well, it was a lot of work. That's it.
Well, I guess that just takes us back to the ADHD thing, I think.
Oh, hello. Oh, that was my hyperfixation last year. Oh, you have no clue. Every single time that I would be like, I need a break from work, I would go straight into, like, researching with different means of transport of, like, IP. Oh, it was beautiful. I love that.
And also, when people, like, hold you accountable for what you are doing, like you said, the artist and just people involved were, like, you owed them something. I think that really covers that dopamine dip that ADHD brings a lot.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And that is the thing, especially because it's, yes, we are mainly an online platform for people to sell their products, but we're also very much focusing on creating physical opportunities for people. So artists like you, who all of a sudden, like, recognize us and come to us and speak to us is also a good validation of the work that we do. We really just want people to enjoy designing and enjoy making art and creating their own visions and bringing them to life. And you are the perfect example for that. You are literally using your own experience and your own perspective of the world to create designs that speak to you, but also speak to everyone that shares your experience, who have that in them. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to make some money out of it.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm just so glad we met.
Likewise. Absolutely. And also, that is one of the good things and the beautiful things about this city, is that we are an international city. Most of the people who live here were not born here. And a lot of us are immigrants, and a lot of us might be here for a short period of time. So creating a platform that comes from Edinburgh, by people from Edinburgh, creates also that anchor for people who might, you know, they might leave. Like, at the end of the day, we all pursue different paths in life that might end up in different places. That is something that we wanted to ensure, for people to always feel that sense of connection to the place where they were once. And it's such a creative, like, Edinburgh is such a epicenter for art and creativity. It's so beautiful. I don't want people to let go of that. Like, I want people to carry with them the fire that Edinburgh has in them.
Yeah, I mean, what a love letter to Edinburgh. Gosh, I'm so homesick. I guess living in multiple places, just, I mean, it's amazing and I signed up for it, it's fine. But it also just leaves you feeling homesick for the other place. Like, you're just constantly homesick of the other place. Wow. Yeah, so I went to Starbucks, which is something I only do in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat there and was like, fucking Brexit. I just want to hop on a plane and go back.
Oh, yeah. What I've learned moving around is that you might have moved. Yourself in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Is within you. Is going to be with you. And a lot of the times, like, that is the thing, even especially for us immigrants, like, we know what it is to move away and find a balance between the place where we're in right now and the place where we come from. Something that I feel so privileged to have experienced is to reconnect with my roots, is to reclaim my culture, is to find strength in Spanish folklore, to be honest. Like, a lot of the times, as queer people in Spain, we don't feel like that is our lane. Like, we feel we are not supposed to be embracing our culture. We're not supposed to be enjoying our art. Like, it feels quite gatekept from us, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And something that is so beautiful that is happening in Spain at the moment is a movement of queer youth that is using those symbols that were once used against us for the sake of creating a new, safer culture that merges queerness and Spanish folklore. To witness that from outside the country also gives you a perspective on your own growth.
It's kind of healing.
Yeah, it's very healing because I feel more connected to those. I grew up flamenco dancing. I started dancing when I was like 5. Like, obviously, when you're a male presenting person and you're dancing, you don't belong there. And dancing is not necessarily what you should be doing. I had to fight with those narratives for 10 years and I was going to quit. I ended up being like the only male presenting person in the room. And when my grandfather died, I found the strength of honoring him by continuing dancing. And I did that for 5 more years. And 5 more years in which I was obviously a teenager at that point. And I had to find peace with my queerness, make sense of the fact that every single comment that had been made towards me while I was dancing, of me being flamboyant, of me being gay, of me being effeminate, like those kind of things, reclaiming those things were very difficult. Eventually, I quit, like I stopped dancing, and it is the biggest regret of my life. And when I moved away and when I came to this country and I started to witness what queer youth were doing with our culture, the amount of trans kids that I was seeing getting a flamenco outfit and dance, like, to me was so empowering, and it gave me a sense of confidence that I had never felt. Like, I started to connect again with that part of my life that I thought that it had ended. And what can I do with these newfound feelings that I have? What can I do about my sense of belonging and my roots and my culture? Like, how can I do that? How can I put these feelings that I have so strongly within me for the benefit of my community? And that's literally why I started taking pictures. That is how I express myself now. How is that I see the world? And it's been truly, truly a wonderful experience to connect with that part of my life again.
Yeah, what a beautiful story. And I think a story a lot of queer and neurodivergent people can connect to. But it's interesting for me, you say that your like Spanish identity changed so much coming to the UK, because it was definitely the case for me. And I think my ex-boyfriend would confirm that I struggled with like being German. I just didn't, it was so abstract. I didn't know what it was. And if it was me, it was just like, I don't know, like a tag on who I was, but it wasn't like, I just didn't feel German. But sometimes having that distance creates, I don't know, a space for a different kind of proximity to a topic that you didn't connect with. So.
Oh yeah. And like, that is the thing, I see a hand waving. Wait 2 seconds. Hello, person in the corridor. I love you. Oh, go to your friend. Okay. Oh, and then you come back here. I love you, Kai.
Love you.
Sorry, in the background. Hopefully. Retrack.
Yeah.
Rewrite. When it comes to, like, well, that is the thing. Like, when I moved first here, do you have, like, conflicting thing about how people perceive you just because of your accent? Whenever you start speaking to somebody and, like, you're literally, they cloak that you're Spanish, like, they literally, the first thing that I was like, oh, so you're Spanish? Well, hola, amigo. I went to Mallorca, and it's like, can't we, the first thing that you think when you look at me is queer. And then the second thing that you, like, when I open my mouth, is like, Spanish. So you've got two things that are my, like, the main things about my identity that people are going to, like, start making assumptions out of. So it's a process of embracing who you are and finding the power from it. Like, it took me a long time to understand that there was value in being bluntly queer and apologetically queer and apologetically Spanish, embracing my accent, not trying to mask it, not trying to change it, not trying. Obviously, I've got this fucking mix between Spanish and Scottish that nobody understands, but you know what? I'm fine with it. It's to me, it's beautiful. Like, your accent tells a story. Your accent literally tells you everywhere that you've been.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about your activism in Edinburgh?
So in 2021, I was elected as the Trans and Non-Binary Liberation Officer at the University of Edinburgh. And I had the privilege of representing trans and non-binary students and staff at higher levels of governance within the university. I got to design a new trans equality policy in the university that not only represented properly the rights of trans people, but also included non-binary people within the policy of the university, which hadn't happened in the past.
Wow. Wait a second. So that was 2022?
That was 2021. That was last year.
So you were 21?
Well, I was 20, I think, when I started, I think.
That's wild. I am impressed by you being in that kind of position at 20.
It was a very enriching opportunity, to be honest. And again, this only happened because I threw the hat on the ring. Like, the opportunity was given to me. My background within the university is that I started doing research on sexual and gender-based violence, and I started participating in the change of the gender, like, of the trans equality policy within the university before I was elected as a liberation officer. And when I did that, one of the people responsible for those elections reached out to me and been like, you should nominate yourself. This sounds like a lovely opportunity. I don't know what will happen. Also, it's a political, like, position. So at the end of the day, it was quite daunting. But I ran and I won that election and I got into office and I got the chance to, like, do so many things for our community, like the Gender Empowerment Fund or the creation of a gender neutral changing toilet, changing room in sports and exercise building. Like, there is so many things.
Wow.
Yeah, there were so many things a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to a large institution like the University of Edinburgh, people want to change things, but they don't have the initiative to do it. A lot of the times, people who are in decisions, like in positions of power, and people who don't have the lived experience of the marginalized group that really wants to progress their rights. But they are very keen on helping. It's just that they don't have the ideas to do it. This is why inclusion is important. The minute that you get into a room, people are going to hear why you need this and what the value of creating that change, where does it come from? What, like how that small change that is not going to affect the logistics of anything is going to provide so much good to a community that has not been properly defended and fought for in the past. So when it comes to the gender-neutral changing rooms, for instance, there was a review taking place about the different buildings within the university and how they were accessible, just accessible. And something that I had been dealing with, because a lot of students have complained to me about it, is that the accessible toilets within the university, all of them, a lot of the times clashed with gender-neutral toilets. So most of the gender-neutral toilets were accessible toilets. So there was this afterthought on making accessible toilets gender-neutral toilets for the sake of having gender-neutral toilets. But then people wouldn't understand necessarily, or a person who doesn't want to go to a gender toilet, you would have this inner dilemma of, am I taking the place of a person who actually needs a disabled toilet for me to be safe? And that conflict shouldn't even take place. Like, you shouldn't have that problem. You should have a gender-neutral toilet that you can use, and then there should be an accessible toilet for people to use.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's being built at the moment. It's going to probably be released by the end of the year. So it's a very nice reflection of what actual inclusion looks like.
Well, that's amazing. Well done.
It was a lot of people working on that, to be honest. But like, it was just, it's planting the seed, you know, it's planting the seed a lot of the times. Well,
I guess it's what you said at the beginning, like it just needs the initiative. Like we all have a million thoughts about how to be better people. But you need someone to push it. And I guess, yeah, cool. That's a good piece of context, I guess, to understand your person.
It's been like literally the most beautiful period of my life. And it's a source of power, like we were talking earlier. Like it's something that I'm always going to carry with me, wherever I go.
Oh yeah, very transformative role to be in. We have to wrap it up quite soon, but no. I wanted to ask.
No.
I'll just bring you back. The other thing I wanted to ask you, since it's June, it's Pride Month. Happy Pride Month. My God. What's planned? What's happening in Edinburgh? Protest, Pride? What am I missing out on?
So I've got the huge honor of being shortlisted for the Scottish Portrait Awards.
Yes.
With my pictures, which have given me now the opportunity to host a Celebrating Queer Joy exhibition at Pride Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is a fantastic opportunity because it's not just me. It's a combination of every single young queer person who has seen themselves excluded from the discourse, who want to take part in an exhibition, who may not have had the chance to see other queer creatives come together. So it's a beautiful experience to have an installation where to celebrate queer art and queer power and queer joy and provide insight to whoever is watching that our experience is not just one of struggle, it's just not one of fighting, it's one of joy, it's one of care, it's one of happiness, it's one that is based on community building. My experience as a queer person mainly has come from the people around me who has shown me a firm sense of care and support. Very excited about that.
Amazing.
It's a fantastic opportunity. So if you want to see some nice, good old queer joy, do come. Enjoy yourself.
You can be assured I'm going to look at flights, and then I'll be like, well, fuck that, I can't do it, it's too expensive and there are no good connections to little Edinburgh. But
online, honey, online, there will be a section in Carried Away at one point with all the pieces from the exhibition.
Okay, we spoke for over an hour 15.
I am so sorry for all the editing that you're going to have to do.
Oh, no, I'm going to enjoy it. I will just listen to it and have a laugh. No, it was wonderful chatting. I don't know, Edinburgh catch up.
Yeah, going into it. You know, this is always your home. This is always our home. And whenever you want to come back, you're always going to have people here.
Maybe you can talk to the British government about letting me in like that. I'd appreciate that.
Excuse me, are you not allowed to come in?
No, like I...
Oh yeah, because I'm pre-Brexit. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
Well, if you or anybody listening knows about a job in the UK for a psychologist, podcast producer, synesthesia artist, we've got the skills. There's a rainbow of skills on my CV.
Yes. Can we spend the last 5 minutes of this interview to just talk about your resume?
Yeah, no, but seriously, if anybody knows anything, I just need my visa back.
Please.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So enjoy Edinburgh. Enjoy Pride Month. Good luck for your exhibition and the submissions that you're probably still waiting for. Are people submitting to your Queer Joy exhibition? Okay, so everybody can submit if they have a beautiful artwork.
Beautiful portrait of anywhere. You don't have to be in Edinburgh either. You can be anywhere in the world, any sort of experience that you have.
Beautiful. And then regarding Carried Away, please check it out. My stuff is up there as well.
Oh yeah, buy the stuff, please. It is very beautiful. We are updating the catalog to have even more of synesthesia's things.
Yeah, we have mugs, we have t-shirts.
Actually, you have some mugs. People love the mugs.
Ah, okay. Well, we're going to have a chat about the products off record. Support your small business called carriedaway.uk. You know your homework. Please find a job for me. That's the other piece of homework. Share the episode. Give it a 5-star rating.
Absolutely. Also, give it a 6. You know what?
Exactly. Just get a second account. My God.
You know what? Actually, submit a second. You know what? Right now, whoever is listening right now that you have submitted that 5-star review, okay, create a different account and submit another one. Those are your tasks.
We're going to have to find an end. 1 hour 24. Thank you for believing in my synesthesia art and accepting my submission.
Thank you for being so talented. That to begin with.
Well, thank you. But the thing about synesthesia art, I feel like I'm just reproducing what my brain comes up with, you know. So have a lovely day. Have a wonderful Pride Month. And I'm going to leave you a message when I'm back in Edinburgh.
More than welcome to do, you know, to provide my hectic energy to absolutely anything and everything that you want me.
Amazing. We love some good hectic queer energy.
Absolutely. Fabulous.
Speak soon.
Fabulous. Have a lovely day, you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Synesthesia. There'll be a new episode of Series 1 every Tuesday. If you enjoyed listening, you can like, follow, and share. Details about the podcast and how to connect with today's speakers can be found in the show notes. The executive producer was Micah Pricing, with music by Corinne Anderson, and the podcast was supported by a couple more neurodivergent people in the background. See you next week.